remembering the story of Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac, his long arrived and long awaited, the firstborn. God had, you remember, provided a ram in the thicket as a substitute sacrifice. Israel practiced a ritual dedication. When the first son was born, this dedication would take place in the temple, and there would be, in place of sacrificing the child, a substitute according to the law. And this is the service that Luke is showing us. On this day, Jesus is presented in the temple. A sacrifice is offered as was according to the law. And then there was the ritual of purification required of Mary after giving birth. We have in the scripture today two old souls near the end of their lives, and they're smiling down upon Mary's child as he's presented in the temple. Simeon and Anna had been waiting for God to provide a Savior. They believed that it was coming, and now they were celebrating the arrival of salvation through the babe that was being presented on this day in the temple. Simeon cries out, and I love this prayer, "Master, now you're dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And he tells Mary, this child is destined for the fulfilling and the rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too. Anna takes one look at the child and she says, "Praise God." And to speak about the child to all who are looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Do you think they know what they're saying? Anna and Simeon. Do you think they really know what they're saying? And I wonder, do they mean to be as specific as Luke makes it out to be? I mean, in a sense, every child brings salvation to a family, right? I mean, at least for a while. At least for a while. There is a new center to your life when you have a new baby. Everything revolves around the new baby. All energy is focused on this new child. And there's a real sense of salvation that comes to every family with this new child. You nurture, you love someone outside yourself, and every baby bears the best dreams of all of us. We hope, we believe, and we long for what's best for this child. We haven't accomplished what we wanted, but there's still hope. Maybe this one will, right? And so there is salvation that comes really in the birth of every child born. Every newborn carries the human race into a new future, which might be better than the past. That's what you hope for, don't you? Every child, sooner or later, is going to, I think, pierce a mother and father's heart in some way. You get broken by your children, by being less than we'd hoped or more than we could become, but being different than we expected. You think that maybe Anna and Simeon are just speaking these words in general about what it means to bear a child? I mean, these are the kind of words that you might hear from a senior adult about any new baby that's being born. In some ways, I'm wondering if they're just encouraging these tired young parents. You know? They've got this new responsibility. This is their first child, and they want to bring about the brightness and the potential that maybe this new child has. And they're excited about the presentation that's taking place in the temple. You know, I couldn't begin to tell you how many times I've seen parents scold their children for being children in church. Have you all seen that? Or redress their teenagers for slouching and in this very adult-oriented kind of service, or try in vain to hush a crying baby. I thank God for grandparents and non-parents in the church who don't mind if children are crying. I had somebody ask me about a child that was crying and asked if it was a bother to me. I got to tell you, when I'm preaching, I don't think or hear about anything else. I don't know what's going on. I'm just focused. And I think that hearing a baby cry in church might be a good thing. Right? I appreciate the fact that Simeon and Anna take delight in this child. So maybe that's what Simeon and Anna were doing for Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. Maybe they didn't realize at all who this child was. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe they were just affirming these parents and saying the kinds of things that a lot of adults say when a new baby is presented in church. An excitement about what this new baby has to bring. So what child is this whom Mary and Joseph dedicate to God in the temple this day? Well, it's the child who reveals God to us. You know, I think that in some ways every newborn child reveals God to us. Don't you? Made in the Creator's image, and if that's true, that God's revealed in every human child, then, well, what's that say about God? God is vulnerable, tender, complicated, depends in some way on human beings to nurture into full maturity what God brings to birth. Paul Tillich writes, there's something surprising, unexpected about the appearance of salvation. Something that contradicts pious opinions and intellectual demands. The mystery of salvation is the mystery of a child. Child is real, not yet real. Both at once. It's in history and not yet historical. Its nature is visible and invisible. It's here, but not yet here. And just this is the character of salvation. Salvation is the nature of a child, Paul Tillich writes. You see, when Christ is born into our hearts, we have a new beginning. The vision statement for our church is to know, grow, and show, to know Christ personally, to grow in Christ as we mature in our faith, and then to become evidence of Christ in us by showing Christ to others in our activities and through our ministry. It begins in the knowing. And when you have Christ in your hearts, you have a new beginning. Jesus calls it a second birth, but salvation has to be tended and nurtured. You've got to grow in the faith that has begun, and it needs to be allowed to develop. The beauty of all this is that Christ takes forms in each of us over time, new forms, as we grow and mature in our relationship with Christ. We put an emphasis on both, beginning with the concept of knowing Christ and then growing in Christ. Imagine giving your spiritual life the time and energy you would give a newborn. I think too many people never let the Christ within them grow beyond the manger. It's cute, sentimental, occasionally cries out with demands, easy to control, makes little impact on the person whose spiritual development's been arrested. Lucy Shaw, one of my favorite poets, writes, "One time of the year, the newborn child is everywhere, planted in Madonna's arms, hay, stables, palaces, farms, quaintly under snowed gables, Gothic, regular, or Baroque plump, naked and elaborately swathed, encircled by wreaths, garnished with whimsical partridges and pears, drummers and drums, lit by oversized stars, partnered with lambs and peace doves, sugar plums and bells, plastic camels in sets of three. If these were what we needed for eternity, and yet Jesus is the man not to be seen. We are too wary these days of beards and sandaled feet, yet if we celebrate, let it be that he has invaded our lives with purpose. Striding over our picturesque traditions, our shallow sentiment, overturning our cash registers, wielding his peace like a sword, rescuing us into reality, demanding more than the milk and the softness of the mother's warmth of the baby in the storefront crash. Only the man would ask all of each of us, reaching and always urgently, strongly, effectively showing God's love. Only the man would give his life. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." So is she right? Are there some of us who will never allow Jesus to be more than just the baby? Or sometimes does the Christ within a person grow, and yet that person seems to become mean-spirited, angry, attacking the people around him with bitter and harsh shaming judgment? Yes, salvation is like a child. It's supposed to grow and develop more and more into the image of God within us. And it's supposed to be like the child of Bethlehem. It's supposed to offer us peace and joy and righteousness and justice and graciousness and love. And it's supposed to become a part of who we are in living our life in such a way that others, when they look at us, see the baby Jesus Christ within us. Another thing I think the baby reveals is the complicated nature of God's salvation. Babies are cute and sweet and fun, but they're also messy, aren't they? You know, really, they're a whole lot of work, aren't they? And parenthood's no picnic. Even before you learn to talk back, babies keep you up at night, don't they? They cry or they coo, and you're always trying to guess why. Every breath brings a new mystery, even as they slowly reveal themselves. Babies teach you that there are no experts in the field who have all the answers for every situation. That's why it takes a family, even an extended family, to nurture a newborn. And that's why it takes a spiritual community to nurture spiritual birth, a new life in Christ. There are no experts, just the pooled wisdom of an experienced community. We need the community. We must take responsibility within the community. Raise our own children. Dr. Spock and Brazelton notwithstanding, you can't learn how to be a good parent simply by following some book, can you? And likewise, the best commentators and the most outstanding preachers notwithstanding, you have to nurture God's Spirit in your own experience. You've got to take responsibility for developing and nurturing your own faith. You have to do it. You have to do it. And I know people ask, how? As you begin the new year, set some new goals. Start with reading the Scripture. You'll be amazed. Don't begin with Genesis. Start with one of the Gospels. I suggest the Gospel of John. Set some prayer time aside each day. How do I pray? Well, you talk to God. Begin with the Lord's Prayer. You know that one, right? Start talking to God. Just like a friend. You'll be amazed. Nurture your spiritual life. Nurture your spiritual faith. Grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, God made this covenant with us. It's a simple covenant. It told us if we would only love God with all our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength and love our neighbor as ourselves, we would do just fine. We couldn't even do that. So God said, well, put the old covenant on hold. I've got a new kind of covenant in mind. It's harder for me, but it's easier for you. Okay? From now on, you don't have to come to where I am, however much I'd like for you to. You see, I'm so crazy in love with you, I'm going to come to where you are. And I'm going to be flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. I'm going to do it all, and all you have to do is believe in me that I love you the way you are, that I love you enough to become one of you, that I love you, and I'm telling you the truth about who you are and what you need, and you need salvation through me. You know, love is always a humiliating experience, folks. Makes you vulnerable. It shifts your center from yourself to the other. It puts you at their mercy. And that's what God did in this child. And if God is so directly and tangibly present in this weak little bundle of flesh, then God might just be present anywhere. By entering creation so directly, God made all creation holy and pregnant with His presence. By entering this ordinary moment in this temple, God made every moment a moment of revelation of the eternal. By coming in the most vulnerable of human states, God has made our own vulnerability the very stuff of saintliness. God wrapped in a blanket. Imagine that. Needing a diaper. Imagine that. The distinction between the sacred and the mundane is gone. Everything is sacred. Everything is sacred. God's present everywhere. Have you seen Him this week? Have you? Can you see Him now? God's reaching out to us, crying to be held. Maybe the real problem is that there are too few of us who are looking hard enough or longing deeply enough to recognize what we're seeing and bear witness with our words of encouragement, songs of joy. What child is this? What child is this? The child that Joseph and Mary dedicating to God in the temple today? What child is this? He's the Savior of the world. The love of God seeking us out. And if we're wise, we don't simply come and see the child like the shepherds and then run home or leave a few gifts. If we're wise, we hold Him in our arms and hold Him in our life and nurture and raise Him into maturity, and we see what can become of the grace of God that was first in our hearts. If we're wise, we'll never disregard the least ordinary person or event, because everything is sacred. We won't despair that we're too small to make a difference, too few to matter, too weak to change the world. Just look through Anna and Simeon's eyes at Joseph and Mary's baby, and you'll see what God can do with this small, fragile beginning. This little child, so few days old, has come to rifle Satan's fold. All hell doth at its presence quake, though he himself a cold to shake. For in this weak, unarmed wise, the gates of hell he will surprise. At the time, nobody really noticed what was happening in the temple. Nobody really cared. Nobody really saw it was that important. Just some ramblings of these forgotten elderly gushing over somebody's baby. It's a diversion, an aside from our busy world we live in. Soon we leave the parents to fulfill their responsibilities so we can get back to the real business of running the world, you know? Only these ordinary and forgotten souls have shown us that the real business of running the world is precisely right here in the mundane events of life. And oh, by the way, I'm not sure if you realize it or not, but... Oh, he's here too. You know, in the smile of the person you greeted, the handshake, expression of love, the kindness. He's here too. Oh, it seems like it's mundane, doesn't it? Not all that important, is it? Oh, yes, it is. I told you about the fellow who told me why he likes to come to church. I said, it's to hear my sermons, right? He said, no, not really. Why do you like to come to church? It's the only place anybody hugs me. Wow. Mundane? I don't think so. Salvation for you and for me in the birth of a child. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Sweet Savior, in the infancy of our salvation, we have much to learn. But the possibilities are great. The future is bright. As we enter into the new year and we welcome you into our lives in new ways, help us to listen to the voices of the forgotten and to see the faces of the disregarded. Help us, God, to look for every place you might be present in our world, crying to be held. And may you grow up into the fullness of spiritual maturity in our souls. Let us open all your gifts to us with great excitement and practice them throughout the new year. And as you were dedicated to God in the temple that day, so would we dedicate ourselves to you in the temple this day. That you might be born into our lives in a new way, and that we might be redeemed in a new way by your love, and might live by your dear name in ways where the world can see the love of Christ through us. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.